You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast. I know what you're thinking, and I'm not Dave Kellner. Apologies for that, listeners. I'm Alex Dunn, standing in for Dave this week because he is... You know, I actually don't know where he is, but he's not here. I can say that much. And unfortunately for you listeners, Mike Grenham is not here either. I know where he is. He's in London today, unfortunately. So you're left with myself, Alex Dunn, and the man next to me. Thankfully, we've managed to scrape together someone from the golf podcast team. Dave Tindall joins me. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Where is everyone? What have they done?
I have no idea. Maybe they're saving their powder for the Open.
I was going to say that maybe they're just building up to a super long special podcast next week.
It's a big thing whether golfers have the week off before the Open. Well, then it applies to podcasts as well.
Exactly.
I like to warm up with a podcast before the Open.
Whereas Mike and Dave are...
Yeah, they're practicing somewhere else.
Resting up. We've got two tournaments to go out this week, the John Deere Classic and the Scottish Open. We were just having a brief discussion off air. One is certainly stronger and slightly more appealing than the other this week.
Yeah, the Scottish Open, obviously, is its proximity to the Open next week. It means you've got a lot of Americans that have come over. Not often you see that many Americans in a normal European Tour event. You've got Ricky Fowler, who won it a couple of years ago. You've got Matt Kuchar, Jason Duffner. So there's a few kind of names that you think, oh, yeah. But obviously they're here to hone their games.
They're not resting, Brighton. No. Certainly not. And we've got the John Deere Classic as well. We'll get to those shortly. Let's talk about last week, because we'll start with the Greenbrier Classic. I think I'm right in saying that last week's podcast wasn't the most successful that we've ever had.
No, but it's one of those ones. The winner of that event, the Greenbrier, Xander Schauffele, we weren't really close to picking him, to be honest.
No.
I mean, he did well. He finished tied fifth in the US Open. I think that's the first time people really heard of him. Unless you really, really take a close watch on your golf. And he's played well since, but I don't think any of us were particularly close to putting him up. It was a bit of a strange event, that one. Last week, some of the big names didn't really do anything, and then it was left with a leaderboard at the end where you're thinking, well, I'll let this one go, you know, hands up. If someone wins, it was really backable, but maybe you were put off by the price.
Frustration.
But this one, it was like, okay, these sort of ones pop up every so often, you've sort of got to take them on the chin and move on.
Okay. And that's for the European Tour.
Yeah, that's a slightly different one because... We got a very obvious winner in some ways in John Rahm, world number 11 he was at the time. But again, he was short in the betting, and perhaps there was a feeling that, you know, he's coming over. He's Spanish, but obviously he's played all his college golf in America.
Yeah.
Will he come over to Ireland and suddenly be able to perform on these kind of old-fashioned links? As it happened, he got a break because it wasn't windy at all, and he shot 24 under.
24, that's phenomenal, isn't it?
It is, so he kind of made a bit of a mincemeat of it. That's the problem. If links courses don't have the wind as a defence, then someone like him can overpower them, and he certainly did that.
Yeah.
So, again, though, I think we mentioned him just purely because he's an excellent player, but we thought maybe there were better fits for him, but it proved otherwise.
And a little bit of controversy as well with Mr. Rahm.
Yeah, as a ball marker incident, he put his ball back in the... or his marker down and then the ball back in the wrong place. And obviously, golf people get very, very excited, and there's a lot of hoo-ha and... Oh, I don't know. I'm always on the other side. Where he put it back, he's clearly going to hole a putt wherever.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any difference to that, but people... come on and say, well, if there are without rules, golf is nothing, and I sort of see what they mean. But I think what they should have done maybe was What definitely I think is that he didn't do it intentionally. He just had a bit of a brain freeze. He was thinking, or probably thinking of his winner's speech or something, because he was clearly going to win that tournament.
Yeah.
I think he's just put it back absentmindedly. I think, though, maybe they should have said to him, all right, John, that's a mistake. We're going to give you a one-shot penalty. They decided it wasn't a mistake, so maybe they should have given him a penalty.
But blatantly, at the same time.
But when people start saying cheating, that's when I get, oh, come on, he's not cheating, is he? Why? If he was deliberately cheating, why would he do that on a putt that he's going to make anyway in front of a live TV audience? Mm. He's not like hiding in a bush, is he? I mean, come on, so anyway.
But he did win, and he won very convincingly in the end. Right, you mentioned that we've got obviously the Open next week. We'll just touch on that a little bit later on. But we'll start this podcast with the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open. And as you said, we've got a one heck of a field turning out for this one. It's at the Dundonald Links in Ayrshire, which is a course that we don't know much about. And more crucially, the players don't either.
Yeah, obviously there are some hints, such as the word links in the title, because it's not always the case that they used to hold this tournament at Loch Lomond, which was kind of inland, quite an American course. And to be honest, it was rubbish as a prep for the Open, because, you know, the Open is on links land by the seaside, very windy.
Yep.
So in 2011, they thought, right, we're going to attract better fields. We want to make sure we play these on courses that will be useful for the players thinking ahead to the Open. So they've moved them to these links places. So this is another links course. It's just down the road from Troon, where the Open was last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got some certainly hints and logic where you can think, well, good links players are going to do well. It's a newish course in the fact that I think it was sort of used as a sort of a runway in World War II, and then it lay dormant, and then they've opened it again. A designer called Kyle Phillips, who I'll touch on later when I come to one of my picks, he redesigned it. So it's only been open, I think, about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
It is new, but it's not sort of bizarrely new. You know, it is a links course on that coast of Ayrshire. So I think if you've done well at Troon or on any links course, I think that will stand you in good stead, obviously.
There shouldn't be any massive surprises anyway. We sort of know what we're getting.
Yes.
Ricky Fowler is the 8-1 favourite as we record this on Tuesday afternoon. Rory McIlroy is 10-1. It's then 16s for Alex Noren and Henrik Stenson. Adam Scott is 18-1. Matt Kuchar at 20s. 22s for Patrick Reed. Bernd Wiesberger is 25-1, along with Brandon Grace. Ross Fisher, 33s and 40s and bigger, the rest of them. Now, I know normally on the golf podcasts, we almost take it in turns to have selections.
Right.
Dave, then Mike, then you. It's going to be a little bit different this time around, as I have no selections. I have a tentative poke.
Well, you have a selection by proxy, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. I have a flatmate who works in trading upstairs who likes his golf betting and has had a fair bit of success so far this year. So hi, Ben, if you're listening. And he simply said to me, Henrik Stenson.
Okay.
Currently 16-1. I can offer you no more than that. I'll tell you what.
Did he give any reasoning?
He may have done. I wasn't listening. I'll text him now, actually.
Okay.
And if he can get back to me in the next 10 minutes, I'll let everybody know.
Yeah.
Where would you look for your first selection? Am I right in thinking you've got two for this?
I've got two for this, yeah. Okay. So I'll kick off with my first one, and it's at 25-1, and it's Brandon Grace. So I said earlier, this course has been designed by Kyle Phillips. Now, he's designed a couple of other courses that have been used on tour. Probably the one best known is Kings Barnes, which is one of the three courses used when they hold the Alfred Dunhill Links, Championship in Scotland again. Now, Brandon Grace won that event in 2012. And on his one round at Kings Barnes, this is the Kyle Phillips course, he shot a 60.
Okay.
A 60. So he basically parlayed that 60 into the victory. That kind of set the tone for a brilliant week.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense that Kings Barn is another, it's kind of a modern day link. Kyle Phillips designed it recently. So there's going to be some similarities, I think, between the two.
Yep.
So the fact that Brandon Grace can do that on that course, I think bodes well for him on this one. Then to prove his kind of mettle on the links, he was also runner-up in this very event in 2013, runner-up to Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson actually went on to win the Open that year. The Scottish Open was held at Castle Stewart. So Grace has Got a win and a second in Scotland. Other good performances as well. He did miss the cut in the US Open on his last start, but so did a lot of players. It was a bit of a quirky week, that one. But before that, his tournament before that was at Wentworth, the BMW PGA Championship, and he was second there. Had a really good week. He was second there with 18 holes to play. Mm-hmm. So right up there, faded on the final day to tied ninth. But I think it was a big week for him, a good week. He did lots of things right. Before that, his previous four starts in there, he had a 10th, an 11th, and a 24th. So lots of good, solid golf. And now you're putting him on a Lynx course, and it's the type of golf he does well. And he's got quite a low ball flight, so he can sort of hit it, you know, power it through the wind. And he's just a good player. He's a winner as well. So at 25-1, sometimes you think, well, I might just be settling for the each-way money.
Playing for a place,
yeah,
almost.
He is a guy who, once he's in contention, he's a very good guy at sealing the deal. So 25-1, Brandon Grace is my first tip.
Okay. We are each way a 50 odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 here at William Hill for the Scottish Open. And obviously there are so many players in with chances, with it being so competitive. I have a sneaking feeling that your second selection, Mr. Tindall, is a slightly bigger price.
No.
Okay. who's it going to be then?
It was a fair guess, but... If it was play your cards right,
I was going to say,
gone higher.
I had the odds in my favour.
Higher, my lad. It's actually lower. It's but not much lower. 22-1.
Patrick Reed.
Yes.
Interesting. Because I listened back to last week's podcast, and the unanimous decision was that he isn't representative of that much value at the minute.
Right.
But are you saying that 22s is okay?
Well, it's in Scotland. The last time he came to Scotland, it was the... Well, not the last time, but... Famously in Scotland, he came to the Ryder Cup at Gleneagles and was absolutely the star of the show for the Americans.
He was sensational.
Yeah, he was shushing the crowd. Yeah. And he was just absolutely up for it. So immediate kind of falling in love with Scotland there. Because even though he was kind of winding up the crowd a bit, they actually loved it. They actually, you know, I think they enjoyed the banter rather than the sort of load of faceless Americans just sort of doing nothing. He came and... got into the spirit of it, and it really made it into a contest. So he left Scotland there with all these positive thoughts. The Scottish people did like his attitude. Then in the three times he's been back since, he's just done really well. In the 2015 Open at St Andrews, he was tied 20th. That was a good knock. In this very event last year, when it was at Castle Stewart, he was tied 10th. So that was a really good effort. And then in the Open at Troon, which I said earlier, is just down the road, a few miles down the road from this course, that Open won by Henrik Stenson, by the way, which maybe what your mate was thinking.
Possibly.
Yeah, he was tied 12th in that Open as well. So I think he's a player who gets to Scotland. Perhaps he goes to a shop and buys some fudge. Oh, they call it a tablet, don't they? Puts on a tartan hat. You just feel like he's bought into this idea. It's the home of golf, and he's going to go there and produce his best stuff.
Iron brew, shortbread.
Yeah, all those.
Yeah, apologies to any Scottish people listening. For the blatant stereotypes. But before he likes it, yeah.
Yeah, so he really likes Scotland. Then his current form, loads of top 25s. Last four starts, he's been top 20 in all of them. There was a fifth in there as well at the Travellers. So maybe up against a kind of more powerful PGA Tour event, you'd think maybe he's not that value, but I think 22s is just about all right. I just got a feeling he's getting closer and closer. At some point he's going to burst out and get a win, and I think Scotland is just a good place. Sometimes you think Americans could be sort of fishes out of water, but so many times they go to Scotland and they have got this sort of thing about history that obviously they haven't got and Scotland have, and it just does inspires them and it brings out the best in them, and I think it definitely does with Patrick Reed. And I think he tied 10th in this event last year. I think he'll be able to improve on that and run into a place, and again hopefully he can get the job done. Obviously we can't have both of them winning, but he is another guy who's you like to have on your side when he's up there in contention.
Okay. Of those at the very head of the betting, Ricky Fowler 8-1, Rory McIlroy 10s, and then 16s for Norrin and Stenson, who would you be looking at purely from those if there was one that really stood out? Obviously, Fowler is the favourite, but he is fairly short.
I was surprised, actually. I know Rory's not in any sort of form, but I was surprised to see a European tournament where McIlroy's in and he's not favourite.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's Dustin Johnson who's knocked him off favouritism. It's Ricky Fowler. Okay, Ricky Fowler won this event 2 years ago at Gullen. But I don't know. He's in great form this year, but he's sort of doing thirds and fifths. And you could argue you might get your money back. But 8-1, I want someone who wins an awful lot. And he's not really doing that. I mean, Rory at 10s, it was a funny week for him. In Northern Ireland last week, he probably had a million and one things to do apart from playing golf. So he was clearly distracted by everyone wanted a piece of him, didn't they, in Northern Ireland. So there's that element. I mean, he's not playing great. I don't know. You could look back on it and say, oh no, I've let Rory go off at 10-1 in a European Tour event and he's won, and you kick yourself. But I'm going to swerve him this week.
At the same time, 10-1 isn't staggeringly massive. It's just bigger than normal.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So
you can't ever rule him out. Norrin, I like Norrin for next week, actually, as well,
okay,
for the Open.
Mm-hmm.
And then your sort of Stenson bet.
I have some news.
Go on. Oh, here
to
we
be fair,
go.
It's,
live.
It's basically what you've already said.
Right.
But good Scottish Open form, especially when they went to the links and won the Open last year around the corner.
Yeah.
So
fair
we've
enough.
Pretty much already touched that. But thanks, Ben, for getting in touch. No, it's... I know limited amounts about golf, but I do know that it is almost horses for courses, if you like. And on these kind of in these kind of events, you already mentioned it with Patrick Reed. You know, it can really pay to go with people who may not be perhaps the best players, in inverted commas, in the tournament on that occasion. But at the same time, if they like it and they keep coming back and playing well, what's not to like?
Yeah, it's a good front end of the market, and it might be that those front 10 players maybe, that they are battling it out. There'll probably be some strange ones creeping through somewhere. Chris Wood is a very good links player. He's 66-1. On Twitter he said his wrist injury, which has hampered him, that's fine now. So he's one who could go in at a nicer price.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like we've focused on more the front end of the market.
Yeah. I believe on the golf podcast it is normal to say one that we don't want to win.
Yes.
Who would that be?
I do think of the Americans who've come over, Fowler, Kuchar, and Jason Duffner. There's Peter Uihlein, who is an American, but he plays his golf on the European Tour a lot of the time. So he's one you often see in European Tour events. Does go back to America sometimes, but he's kind of cut his teeth on the European Tour for the last few years. I think there is quite a lot of feeling with him that he's due to go in very soon, lots of good form. And he's a runner-up in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship in Scotland as well. So I was close to putting him up at 40s.
Okay.
I won't, but if he does win, I'll give him that mantle of I don't want him to win.
Okay, fair enough. But we're going to go with Grace and Reed at 25s and 22s,
yes,
respectively, in the Scottish Open. We'll turn our attentions then to the John Deere Classic. This one has a much more open look to it. Daniel Berger is the 12-1 market leader. Brian Harman is 14s. 16-1 then for Charlie Hoffman and Danny Lee. Kevin Kisner is 20s with Kyle Stanley. 25-1 then for Jamie Lovemark, Steve Stricker and Zach Johnson. And bigger prices the rest of them. You weren't as keen on this event as you were the Scottish Open from a punting point of view.
Yeah, it's an event where it's a very horses for courses event, and it does often produce short price winners. Often the favourites do go in. I think Jordan Spieth was 7-2 when he won it 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Stricker won it 3 times in a row, and obviously by the second and the third he was going off at short prices. Zach Johnson, I think he was in the top three, maybe 7 times out of 8. He had an astonishing run there. So you do get the same names. If there's a theme, they're probably just accurate players who hold tons of putts.
Okay.
So you're slightly having to guess who's going to have a hot putting week. I mean, you can pick the best, who you think are the best putters by going on the strokes game putting lists on the PGA Tour. But I know when Mike's in, he always says he doesn't like these putting contests as much because it's a bit more random, but I wouldn't surprise me at all again if the winner's going to come out of that top bunch. I like Brian Harman. He's won here before. Remember, he was runner-up in the US Open the other last month. Charlie Hoffman had another good US Open, 8th, was 3rd in the Travelers after that. He looks like a winner waiting to happen. So Harman at 14s, Hoffman at 16s there, kind of backable prices, but probably just a tad too short for me to put up.
Okay, so where are we looking then?
So I don't think I'm going to, rather than force a bet out, I think I'm just going to have a watching brief on this one.
Okay.
But possibly if Harman or Hoffman made slower starts and got to 20s, I might just pull the trigger in play, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Kevin Kisner, it's a course he should like as well. He's already 20s. But I think Harman and Hoffman are my two that I'll be keeping an eye on in running, shall we say.
Now, we mentioned with the Scottish Open that you don't want to be backing someone at a very short price if it is, in effect, place only. You know, if it is someone who you don't think will win but will go close. Now, you've already mentioned Messrs. Stricker and Zach Johnson, respectively, both at 25s, both with proven course and distance form, if you like.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. There are going to be those that are tempted by them at 25s, even if it isn't from a winning point of view. They have everything in their makeup to go very close once again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will maybe just immediately home in on those. I think they're decent enough prices to attract people in. You'd argue that Stricker's three wins came a bit ago. Mm. Now he's kind of a senior, and it is hard to win once you get past 50.
Yeah.
So maybe, but there is some each way juice in that 25. Zach Johnson's just been a bit flat for me of late. I guess he does love this. He refers to it as his fifth major.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting one as well on a slightly broader point. Since the Open Championship moved to, since the Scottish Open moved to a Lynx course, then five of the last players who went on to win the Open had played in the Scottish. So if you're looking for next week's Open winner, it's pretty likely he's in the Scottish Open.
Yeah, and it does look a stronger lineup on paper. But even then, you are ruling out a fair few of those that will be moderately well fancied, at least.
Yeah. So if you look at the Scottish Open, who's not there?
Mm.
Dustin Johnson's not there. Jordan Spieth's not there. There's a lot of players who you're thinking, well, if that holds firm again. Stenson played it and won it. The only one who played in this event and then went over to win the Open was Zach Johnson, funnily enough, in 2015. But even then, you could say, so the last six winners of the Open had all played the week before in either this or the Scottish.
No, that's true, yeah.
So maybe people like Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, maybe they're not doing themselves any favours by not warming up.
No, and it's not necessarily you're playing yourself into form, it's just being familiar with your surroundings.
Yeah, I know, I think Dustin Johnson, I think he normally flies over to Ireland and plays kind of there with the mates, but it's not under competitive conditions. I'd be much happier if I was having an Open bet to see that they'd played this week.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, for instance, I quite like Norrin for next week, so I'm glad he's in the Open.
Mm.
He's in the Scottish Open field this week. You could say the same for Rory.
Yeah. McIlroy, incidentally, we've got the betting for the Open already on site. Obviously, this will change given how the Scottish Open goes in particular. Justin Johnson, the 9-1 favourite. McIlroy, 10. Spieth, 12s. 14s then for John Rahm. Jason Day, 16s with Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood. 16-1. Henrik Stenson, 18-1. 20s for Hideki Matsuyama. Justin Rose and Ricky Fowler. I'll put my teeth back in. And 25s and bigger the remainder. 40s for Alex Norrin. Yeah. As things stand, that is big.
Yeah, that could be a big price. And it's one of those ones you need to keep an eye on him in the Scottish, because if he's leading that after three rounds, then that Open price will go. So
yeah, that's true.
The trade-off is the fact that, what are our current each-way terms on?
Six places.
So you might get better. Well, I don't know that yet. But if you're backing anyone in the Open who's playing in the Scottish Open, just be careful.
Be wary.
Yeah, that their price doesn't go down. I mean, yeah, you said Tommy. I saw someone on Twitter say, is that the worst price Tommy Fleetwood has ever been for a player to win? Well, just ever, I think. I mean, at the start of the year, the thought of him being 16-1 to win the Open would have been incredible, but he's played that well recently.
I was going to say, he's in a rich vein of form.
And it's kind of, he's from that area, South, but it's Royal Birkdale, that's kind of his backyard, but not for me at 16s.
No. Well, anyway, we'll hear much more on the Open next week, where Dave Kellen will be back in the presenter's chair with Mike and Dave. And best luck with your bets, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
With Grace and Reed.
Yeah, shall I just go through the staking plan on those? Although there's only two of them.
No, go on.
So I will go a point and a half each way on Brandon Grace in the Scottish Open, and a point and a half each way Patrick Reed in the Scottish Open as well. Reed 22s, Grace 25s.
Lovely stuff. And as you said, a watching brief for the John Deere Classic, but keep an eye on Messrs. Harman and Hoffman.
Yeah.
If they are to get to 20s or thereabouts, could be worth a look.
Yeah.
In that one. Right, well, thank you for joining me, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
And thank you, listeners, for putting up with me. I can assure you, Dave, we'll be back next week. Don't worry about it. Enjoy the action this week. Best luck with your bets. And we'll speak to you soon on the William Hill Golf Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.